Isn't it such an amazing experience to be able to worship God? You know, you cannot be fatterig or complainerig or whatever that arig is. You know, it don't matter what's going on. If you're a worshiper, a donkey can go, and you can worship Jesus. We need to learn to worship our Heavenly Father. You know, while we were singing all of these songs, and I was just listening to those words and well-picked songs there, Derek, and I was just saying to myself, Lord, thank you that I know Jesus. We're living in a world that does not accept Jesus, and it's getting worse, let me tell you. Secular humanity has become gods. Reminds me of the Tower of Babel. People walked away from God. They wanted nothing to do with God. And I'm telling you, church, listen to me. The opposition is coming. For those who want to live godly in Christ, Jesus will suffer persecution. Just prepare yourself. Unless you want to compromise. But to stand up for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can tell you something. It's not going to get easy. We got to understand that. And I'm so excited tonight that I know that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Isn't that fantastic? Praise God. We're excited, man. It always bothers me. Who knows that rain can never be manufactured by a human being? Rain is from God. And we must never see it as an inconvenience. You know, I've had to guard myself. Because when you ride motorbikes, it's nie lekker om nat te word nie. And I'll try and avoid it to the best of my ability. But there are times when you have to. But always be thankful for this amazing rain God's given us. Because if we have a very short memory in the Western Cape, remember when you were just about to open your tap and there was no juice coming out of that tap? And God, within a month, filled our dams. We serve an amazing God, hey? And the reason I say that is, you know, tonight as you look, the place is like seriously empty because it's biki coat and it's biki nut. Listen, this is where you need to be. I remember serving the Lord 48 years. I used to go to the Archaeus Church, morning service, evening service. I even played in the band, morning service and evening service. Never had a break. Hello. Because it's the right thing to do. Amen. So I honor everyone that is here tonight. And I really pray that what I'm going to share with you tonight is exactly what Lorraine said to you. That this will be one of the tools in your makeup box. You know where my mind's going now. I'm going to go there. Makeup box, you know. The Ruger. Was it Rouge? Ruger. But may this, what I'm going to share with you tonight, be the very thing in your makeup box that will take these toxic thoughts away from your life. Amen. So what I want to talk to you tonight about, it's a simple word, and you all know what this word means. It's kara. And it's pronounced K-H-A-R-A. It's a Hebrew word, kara. And there's the X word is the same word, but it's in Greek. So I want to talk to you about kara tonight, if I may. And to start off with this word, I want to read Proverbs 15, verse 15 to you. Yeah, man, I tell you, the scripture is just so open up to me. Listen what the word of God says here. When a man is gloomy, when you hear that word gloomy, ek het hom nog nie opgekyk in Afrikaans nie. Gloomy. Yesterday, sister. Neerslagtig. Dit klink baie sleg. Neerslagtig. Neerslagtig. So good, yeah. When a man is gloomy, that word gloomy means to be down. When you're like very down, when you're discouraged, when you're disappointed, when you're disheartened, when you're demotivated. Any of those words sound similar to us. We've all experienced that stuff. He says, when a man is gloomy, everything seems to be gloomy. Is that what it says? Hello. I've heard so many people quote that scripture the way I've just said it to you now. When a man is gloomy, everything's going to be gloomy. It does not say that. It says, listen to what it says, everything seems to go wrong. Listen, if things are going wrong in your life right now, I want you to do me a favor. Check your gloomy meter. Because that's where the problem lies. You see, when you're gloomy, when you're depressed, when you're disappointed, when you're disheartened, when you're upset, when you're negative about life and things are not going for you, when you're gloomy, listen, everything seems to go wrong. And many times your life is going wrong for the simple reason is because you're not applying kara to your life, you're applying gloomy to your life. Amen. Because listen to the second portion says, when he is cheerful, full of kara, everything seems right. You see, I love the way the scripture says it. Everything seems right. It may not be right. But you see, when you have a good attitude to stuff and you're applying the principles of God, no matter how gloomy things are, you walk victorious on top of, nie onder. Hoe gaan hom in jou broer? Ja, onder die omstandighede. Wat doen jy daaronder? Klim boop hulle, man. Maybe the circumstances don't change, but you know what? You don't lie under them, you get on top of them. You apply what I'm going to share with you tonight. This kara word is something you don't generate. It's not something you can make up. It's not something you want to leave your home without. And it's not something surely that you want to come home without. Listen to me. We cannot afford to be without it wherever we go. We cannot do anything successful when it comes to outreach or ministry or touching people's lives with my life without this kara that I'm talking about. And I've seen it in life. Many well-meaning Christians, they put on a mask. They mask and they try and make this appearance that this is this kara in their lives. And they try to act it out. But just let the first crisis come. Let the first trouble come. The first confrontation in their life. Discouragement. And even a little bit of offense and getting offended. Listen to me. It reveals immediately the true you. If you don't, listen to me. Have a heart and a lifestyle that's living out this kara message. You know what the Bible says kara is? It says, the Bible says, it is our strength. Kara is our strength. It's a three-letter word in English. And without it, we're very poor. We'll be very, very weak. And we don't fully understand what God really did for us on the cross of Calvary that day in our lives. Listen to me. What kara means is a three-letter word, and that's what it means. What is that word there? Say joy. Say it like joyfully. Again. Joy. Joy, 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 when you come to Jesus. Remember that? I used to sing that in Methodist church when I was naughty and young, very young. Joy, joy, joy when you come to Jesus. Absolute fact. Kara means joy. That word joy, when you hear the word joy, what does it do to your heart? If I say depressed, miserable. Yes, it's almost feels, hey, I'm feeling depressed today. Hey, I'm feeling full of joy this morning. Now, nobody can say, I'm feeling full of joy this morning. It doesn't go, does it? No, no, no. Because joy is joy. And I looked it up just before we came here this afternoon. Joy means well-being. It means delight. It means blessedness. It means triumphant. Hallelujah. So when I'm full of joy, I am triumphant. I am blessed. I am who God says I am. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, man. Did you know there's a major difference between happiness and joy? And I want to show you that today. Because many, many Christians wish and hope and even pray for happiness when it's really joy they should be after. Yeah, listen to this. The word happiness in the dictionary says this. It's a state of being happy. Oh. How intense is that? What is happiness? It's a state of being happy. Yeah, but it goes a little bit deeper. And it's a pleasurable experience that springs from possessions and things. It's enjoyment, genot, as one's happiness depends on one's self. That's happiness. Very different to joy. Listen, in a nutshell, happiness depends on circumstances. So, give you an example. If I know we're going out for a bike ride or a jaul or something that you really enjoy, or a picnic, or the kids are coming over, all of a sudden you walk with a lacquer step, you're happy because... And then they find you and say, listen, they're not coming in our lives. It almost stops your... You're somewhat walk around miserable. What's wrong with you? You're somewhat miserable and you think, why am I being miserable? Then you remember, oh, I got this bad news, and you carry it. And it begins to flow through your whole demeanor, your attitude, the way you speak, the way you act. Amen. Listen to me. Happiness depends on happenings. If the happenings are good, then I'm happy. If the happenings are not so lekker, my life's in a bit of a mess, then I'm unhappy. You see, it's inconsistent. But this wonderful thing about joy, joy is consistent, church. It is a consistency. Joy, on the other hand, is not dependent on things that happen on the outside of my body. Neither does it change because of any circumstances that I face. It's everything to do with an inner happening as a direct result of an inner experience. And what is that experience? It's an experience when I accepted Jesus Christ into my life. The Holy Spirit came to live in me, and you've been endowed with joy. Can you say with me tonight, I have joy. Say it again. You need to believe that, because I tell you something tonight, when you leave this place, you're going to embrace that truth, and it's going to change the way you think, act, and live as of tonight. Amen. And I pray that for those that are watching by way of media tonight. And by the way, how's it? It's everything to do with an inner happening. The dictionary says this about joy. Joy is more intense than happiness. It has to be, because it's from God. Hey, it's deeper than gladness. Ah, I'm glad. No, it's deeper than gladness. It's more than just being cheerful. It's more than just being opgewonden. Joy is more than that. Joy is a result of Jesus Christ touching your life and you being obedient to His call. And joy is activated in a child of God's life. Jy sien, ons moet bietjie hierdie goed weer hoor. This is old stuff. But you know, sometimes we've got to go back and we've got to get some meat again, and we've got to eat some meat again on this stuff so that we can pick up where we've let go stuff in our spiritual lives. Isn't that so? Joy is a result of Jesus touching us. Listen to me. When we obey God, this is what God produces. I love this. Ecclesiastes 2:26 says, for the person who pleases God, who's obedient to God, listen what God does. He gives wisdom and knowledge. And you know how many people have read that and said, we need wisdom. How many times do you pray for wisdom? How many times do you ask God for knowledge? I mean, 2 Peter 3 verse 18 says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. We need to get to know Him better. But you see, God says, not only do you need wisdom, not only do you need knowledge about me, but you need, what's the next word? And joy. The one who pleases God, God gives wisdom. God gives knowledge. And what does God give? Joy. Say with me, joy. Hallelujah. Joy is something we tend to overlook in our lives. We worry about the wisdom and the knowledge, but we forget we have a weapon inside us. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. It's not an optional extra for a child of God. Some have it, some don't have it. No. When you've said yes to Jesus, you have it in abundance in your life. Would you just smile at me, please? Remind your buckies that you have joy. Yes, I love looking at you now. Check you smiling. Yeah, let's oh look. Hey, when last did I see you all smile together like this? There's still some of you sitting. You have joy. Hallelujah. Hey, can't be miscooking here. Yeah. Listen, Nehemiah 8 verse 10b, it says, the joy of what? Of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord. You know, that passage in Nehemiah, just go and read it. You know, Nehemiah gets up and he gets the king Xerxes to give him authority and gives him position to take people and go and build. An ungodly king gets old Nehemiah to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And it's amazing. And they were so starved of the law of God. They didn't remember it anymore. And so here comes Nehemiah and Ezra, and they begin to read the word to the people, and the people just start to cry. It's like the word of God. You haven't had the word of God. You know, some of the actually in China is behind the iron curtains. They just tear a little scripture out and they eat it. just so that people won't catch it on them. They memorize it because it means something to them. You see, Jesus said, we won't live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so they begin to read the word. And as they begin to read the law, and it's like us reading the word of God tonight, they began to weep and weep. And God does this amazing thing in their lives. And listen to this. I'm just picking it up over here. It's not up there. He says, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Mourn not, don't weep, for all the people wept and they heard the words of the law. They'd heard the word of God for a change. Then Ezra told them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet drink. Doesn't that sound like joy? Hey? That's like saying, go and eat kookses and lamb chops. Ek verstaan het so. Stay look. He says, and send portions to him, those who have nothing. So if you're having a lamb chop and cook sisters, go my way as well. That's what he's saying here. He says, and not, don't be grieved and be depressed. I love this. Then he says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and your stronghold. It's so exciting, this thing that God, because it's the joy of the Lord. Joy is not a warm, happy, fuzzy kind of feeling that we're supposed to have every now and then. It's so much more than that. Listen, when I read the scripture, joy is one of the most powerful spiritual forces in the world. Let me tell you. Because you can say what you like. When you're miserable, you're miserable. If something went wrong in your life and you duck back up, 10 bar, you're somewhere miserable, circular, nobody want to be around you. But when you're full of joy, man, yes, there's lack of people to hang around with. Amen. Amen. And so we got to learn to change our attitude because of who God is in us, that we live a joyful life. Of course, we're going to get miserable and full of nonsense sometimes, but don't let it last forever. Start looking at the positive and say, Lord, you filled me with joy, man. I'm going to live with joy now because it's my strength. Because when I'm not joyful, then I'm weak. Amen. It's the truth. It's just the truth. That Nehemiah 8 verse 10, here's why I say it's a powerful force. If we remove from the scripture of the Lord, in other words, the joy of the Lord is my strength. If we said the joy is your strength, I mean, it doesn't make it, it means nothing. Because here's the truth. There are two interchangeable things. When I have God, I have joy. When I have joy, you better believe God's somewhere near you. Amen. Because the world can't give it and the world can't take it. Joy comes from God. God gives it because it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God, man. Hallelujah. Praise God. And yes, the fact is you can't live a life of faith in the Lord without being strong in the Lord. Jy kan nie 'n geloofslewe lewe as jy swak in die Here is nie. Where does our strength come? Our strength comes from the joy. Listen, when God wants you to be strong, you know what he does? Joy is what he uses to do the job. Isn't that what James 1 verse 2 says? Count it all joy, brothers. When you go through all of these mystical goeders wat met jou gebeur, how should you approach them? With what? Say joy. Hulle moet joy hê, so jong. Joy. Hulle op die TV, say joy. Amen. I love it. Excited. What makes you think I'm excited about this? Because I love joy. Joy is a lekker thing. Joy is not just a state of mind. It's not just a passing emotion. Joy is a real force. The devil cannot stand up against it. You see, because the devil's plan in life is to kill, steal, and to destroy. Joy kills every one of those details. When steel comes in, and I come with joy, man, he doesn't know what to do with it. When steel kills, when he comes in with all that stuff, and you counter it with joy, man. Wow, it's just amazing. Praise God. Because the fact is, when you have joy, when you should be miserable, when your circumstances is nach, and that's not night, when they're just bad, when they're bad, you throw the enemy into major confusion. He can't handle it when you show joy, when you actually, he's been giving you a hard time, and you keep showing joy. You see, when you're gloomy, everything seems to be falling apart. And that's what he wants you to be. He wants you to be gloomy so that everything can fall apart. Amen. But when I'm full of joy and I'm obedient to God and God comes and he lifts me up, everything seems right. Even if it's not right for the moment, but it seems right. Praise God. And it does that. Just as fear yields to faith. When fear comes in, faith speaks the truth of the word of God, and it diminishes the lie immediately. So when discouragement and disappointment and all of that stuff comes, the moment it comes and you counteract it, joy kills that stuff immediately. Amen. Do you understand that? The good news is this. Joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit that you have living inside your life. Amen. Joy is not a gift, eh? There are nine gifts of the Spirit, but there are nine gifts of the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is not a gift. Joy is a fruit. Dit is die nagevolg van 'n kind van die Here wees. Galatians 2, he says, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and we can carry on with the other nine. But he says it is joy. We got to understand when the Holy Spirit came in me, into my life, what came into me was joy. I have joy. Say, I have joy. Because you do. Amen. John 15:11, Jesus talking about joy. Listen what he says here. He says, I have told you this, that my joy may be in you. Do you know what Jesus was about to face? Do you know the agony and the pressure and the upheaval and the persecution that he had when he walked here? And what does he say to them? He says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you. I'm going to be crucified. The Bible says in Philippians 2, from about verse 8, 9, and 10, he says, the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Hey, the joy that was, you think, oh, you know, even though he was in that Garden of Gethsemane and he sweated great drops of blood, he said, Lord, if it be your will, take this cup away from me. But nevertheless, Lord, your will be done. He says, the joy that was set before him. Jesus is telling his disciples and he's telling us tonight, I have told you this, what? That I'm going to die for you and that I'm going to be buried. But on the third day, I'm going to raise up again and I'm going to send my Holy Spirit in your life and you're going to walk a victorious life and an overcoming life in this world that's falling apart, that doesn't want to know much about Jesus. We live in a sick world, let me tell you. He goes on to say that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be what? Oh, we know that he lives. How do I know Jesus lives? Because he lives within my heart. I know he's alive. He's my Savior, he's my King. So somebody said, how do you know Jesus is alive? I said, because I spoke to him today. Amen. We know he's alive. Praise God. You're going to have to develop it. You're going to have to confess it. You're going to have to live by it. If you want to enjoy the power of joy in your life. Too many Christians wait for the outcome to determine their attitude of joy. When your attitude of joy would determine your circumstances. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, we wait for circumstances to change. And when it's better, then I smile and then I'm happy. Now can I just smile. When they encounter you there at the office as a child of God, you're going through some tough stuff. Listen, you need to have joy because it's that joy that is drawing people to Jesus. They can't understand how you can walk. Those are the signs that people know that you're God's disciple, that you walk with joy when you should be miserable, when you should be complaining all the time, that you put a guard over your back, your mouth. And you don't say negative stuff. You speak life. You don't speak death over yourself. Amen. Can you understand from what the ladies heard today? If you apply this joy in your life, man, your thought life changes, your attitude changes, your actions change. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Must keep on here. I'm going to lose place. So we do that. We wait for that. The joy in your life will bring joy to others. You know, I read that scripture last week. I wasn't going to read it again this week. But you remember Philemon, when Paul acknowledges him, and I actually took it out here, but I just want to read it. He says, your fellow Christians who have been cheered and refreshed through you, my brother, that they have received joy from you, my brother. You see, his life brought people joy. That's what we do. Joy is contagious. Let me tell you something. It's lucky to hang around with people that have a bit of joy in their lives. Amen. Amen. We all have it, but we don't oofen it. That's our problem. The question is, and I'm going to start landing this aircraft tonight. What do you bring mostly to those around you in your life? Be really, really honest with yourself. Do you bring discouragement? Do you bring negativity? What is it that you bring? Do you bring rebelliousness? Are you rebellious in the way you do it? Or do you impart joy? Do you choose joy over antagonism? Do you choose joy over unforgiveness? It's all these positive things that come out of joy. Joy is just positive. Amen. That's what came from the cross, because the cross is a plus sign. It's not the negative sign. It's a plus sign. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Psalm 126 verse 2 says, we were filled with laughter. And what did we do? We sang for what? For joy. And the other nation said, what amazing things that the Lord has done for these oaks. They got scared because they were full of joy. You can hear joy. You can express joy. You can also express misery and unhappiness and everything. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to tell you a story that happened to me in gym. But some lemon sucker dude. But anyway, I'm not going to tell that story because we're on live now. But it's amazing how people just choose to be miserable. Don't be one of those people. Amen. From tonight, you're a joy carrier. Amen. Not because I say so, because the scripture says so. You're a joy. Yeah, it's going to regmaak jou sausage. Because this unsaved world will see something. They will hear something that will attract them to Jesus. And it's your joy. It's such a beautiful thing, this joy, how it attracts people. Psalm 16 verse 11 says this, you will show me the path of your life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In God's presence is fullness of joy. Remember the refreshing sermon last week? We spoke about being refreshed. But Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. We need to be in His presence. We need to be reading His Word. We need to know what the Word says so we can get excited and full of joy about the truths of the Word of God. And we're getting into a stage in this world, and I say this all the time because I'm preparing your hearts and your lives where we're going to be confronted by well-meaning people that are going to sound very intelligent about the Word of God. Halfgebakte mense. But they're going to cause deception. They're going to deceive many, the Bible warns us. You better know what this Word says. But I love joy. You see, you know the thing. It's like your testimony. Nobody can take your testimony. Man, I can stand in the midst of a klomp heidene wat niks van God wil weet nie. And I say, guys, you cannot tell me that night when I fell on my knees, my life changed radically. I became a new creation in Christ Jesus. George Lehman died that night and a new dude stood up. I don't know how it happened, but I am a new creation. So I don't care what you believe, I know. Now, joy is the same thing. When you have it, you have it. Say, I have it. What do you have? I love it. Amen. Thank you. And at your right hand there is pleasures forevermore. Man, when you're walking in joy, you can walk in the fullness of God. You see, when you're walking in joy, also your mind and your heart is clearer to think of the good things of God. And the more you meditate on the good things of God, the less you worry about the stuff that we shouldn't be worrying about. Amen? The simple fact is this. If you don't actively spend time in the presence of God, we lose our joy. And it's a fact. You just look at backslidden Christians. There's no joy in them. And they're always trying to tell you when I was saved, when I did this, I said, what are you doing today? Nah, no joy, empty. The container's leeg, het uitgeloop. There was a crack in it. Amen. Joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I've got to say this as we come to a close, and I want to read one more scripture. If we continue in and we don't address sinful ways in our lives, we need to be addressing these things, church. Because these are the things that are causing that crack for our joy to leak out of us. Unforgiveness, bitterness, strife, lukewarmness, leaving your first love of Jesus are major causes for missing His presence, and the result becomes no joy. Ons moet op ons geestelike lewe werk. This is no time to slacken off. Now time to tighten up the reins. Amen. He says, in the past we slept, Paul says to the Romans church. He says, but now we're not of those who sleep and are half gebak. He says, no, no, we're alert. We must be alert, children of the master. Amen. We need to be alert. Can I just say this? David is such a beautiful example of joy. You know, I mean, when you really think about old Davi, yes, I mean, that dude really messed up big time, old David, didn't he? I mean, other than he took another oak's wife and he slept with her and he had a baby with her. Hey? In our modern day and age, he hit the Quran first page. And then not only that, he somehow organizes that her husband gets killed so just to kill his, to cover his sins. Well, the world do that. So, tonight's happening right now. There's things in people's lives we cover up. But listen. Listen to David. This is how he comes back to God. And listen to what he had lost and what he asked God to put back to him. The thing that carried David, that's why he was a man after the heart of God. I'm telling you, listen to this. Psalm 51, verse 8 through 12. He says, let me hear joy and gladness again, Lord. Wat vraai vir die Here? I've messed up. I've been so bad. God, please forgive me. But how will he know that God had forgiven him? Here it is. When God restores, that he might hear joy and gladness again. He says, let the bones you have crushed, let them come back to rejoice. You see, joy and rejoice are, they walk hand in hand. Jy kan nie rejoice as jy nie joy het nie. And what does Philippians 4 verse 4 say? Verbly julle in die Here somtyds, ek herhaal altyd. Nee, andersom. Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say, rejoice. Joy in the Lord, and again I say, joy in the Lord. That's really what he's saying. He asked God, he says, when I crush my bones, Lord, let me rejoice again. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. And listen what he says here. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. And now the scripture. You see, I've been here and I know the scripture. I know it well. I can quote it because it burns in my heart. I sent out a message in the week. We need to get something, we need to get scriptures that they explode within us. Jy moet skrifte kry wat hierso ontplof. When your crisis hits, you have an ontploffing van die, want jy het 'n antwoord vir die probleem. Amen. Ons moet antwoorde kry. And this is one of those for me. He says, restore to me, Lord, what? The joy of what? Your salvation. You see, the problem is when we lose our joy from the day we gave our hearts to Jesus, that's what you call becoming lukewarm, lovarm. God says, when you lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. Because a joyful Christian who's joyful about the day he got saved, are you still happy about the day when you got saved? Are you still happy about when Jesus met you? Amen. Hallelujah. That's it. So we miss Pauline, don't we? I've got to nominate somebody else to please enter into that area. She was the only one who laughed at my flow jokes. Hey, wasn't she so precious? Shame, man. But he says, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit. A willing spirit to sustain me. Om my te elke dag te laat gaan. But I only have that when the joy. Lord, I'm so excited that I know you. It's so great to know you, Jesus. I'm so excited from the day I met you, Jesus. Isn't that so fantastic? I want to encourage you today. Joy restored in your heart is on God's plan for each of us for every day. You see, van elke dag as jy wakker word, is jy nie vol joy nie. You've got to be conscious about it. Say, Lord, you filled me with joy. And I'm not talking about fake it until you make it, eh? I'm talking about real faith, believing that Jesus has given me joy. I can be joyful. And I choose to be joyful. Today, I hold before you life and death. Choose life, says God. You think they're so doof, they wouldn't take life. He had to remind them, choose life. Okay. Hey? Today I hold before you life and death. Choose life. And what a hunt is it? But that's what we do. We seem to choose this other life. Amen.
Hallelujah.
For his children as a direct result of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what he done, you and I can walk freely in the joy of the Lord. Amen. You know what I want to do tonight? I want to pray over all of us tonight, including those that are watching. But I want to ask you to ask God to restore the joy of your salvation. You might have joy tonight, but I just want you to refresh your joy in his presence tonight. Say, Lord, please come and restore the joy of your salvation back in my life. May that I live my joyful. Come, let us stand up and let us do that. Speak to God now. Close your eyes and just lift your hands to him and just say, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Come, let's participate. Don't wait on one another. Just come to God right now. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you, Father, that you give us your word. Thank you that your word speaks into our situations. Thank you that we can be more than overcomers, that you have given us the victory. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And him that is in us is the fullness of joy. Father, as David prayed, Lord, restore to me the joy of knowing you through salvation. I pray that over each one of us here tonight. Father, that we will not leave this place and just have heard another sermon. But Lord, as James encouraged us, do not be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Because Lord, it doesn't help us hearing this. And we just fall into the trap of discouragement, disloyalty, brokenness, discouragement, unforgiveness, all this negative stuff. Father, we lay it down in your presence tonight. And we pray for a freedom to come through the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've prayed that tonight, say with me, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Have you got joy tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So excited, man. I don't want to go home here. What's the time? Let's do something else. Amen. Praise God, man. You know, I prayed you on Saturday morning. I walk up and down here. Just want to invite you to come and pray with us on a Saturday morning. It sounds like I talk to the ceilings. So if you want to come and worship with us on a Sunday, come to the prayer meeting, 7 to 8. We don't go after 8. We start at 7, about quarter past mostly. We share a short word, chadachtas, and we come and pray. You know, prayer is the powerhouse to the ministry. I'm going to start sharing on prayer in another series soon on that. And we're going to put that into practice, because that changes life. So come and pray with us. So I'm walking up and down here, and I said, Lord, please let there be no load shedding. And I'm praying it, and I know what Eskom's all about, and I can't tell you that I felt enough faith in me to really believe my prayer. So in my unbelief, I prayed in belief. And there's no load shedding tonight. So we can have coffee. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. God never ceases to amaze us, eh? Oh, he's a wonderful God, man. Amen. Father, we just thank you tonight for coming and just filling us with fresh joy. Refresh us with joy, Lord. May we go out this week, Lord, and walk in the victory that you have died and rose again to ensure that we will have it. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us into a life of living with joy. Father, we understand there's difficulty, hardship, and all of these things we face. And you said it, Lord, that in this world we'll have trials, tribulation, but be of good cheer, and that good cheer, good joy, because I've overcome the world. Thank you. Be with your church, Lord. With your anointing, just rest upon us this week. And Father, that we will experience the wonderful joy of Jesus every day. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have some coffee. Don't run off. Amen.